We have communion today. I've lots to say. We're launching our first sermon of the missions month this month, February. Next month, we'll have Pastor Chris Ozadi from the Nigerian church that meets here in the afternoon. And then the following Sunday, we'll have Pastor Chris Vogel. And he's been actually helping our church. And I've been talking to him a lot. And he'll be coming to preach on missions and prayer. And then I'm going to close the missions month, the last Sunday of the month. Okay, so that's where we're going, all right? All right, if you could all rise, if you could stand up with me, turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 67. And it'll be also up there. Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 through 7. And after I finish reading it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And then if you could all respond by saying, thanks be to God together. And then you could be seated, okay? Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 through 7. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine on us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Okay, let me pray for us. If you could join me in prayer. Our great God, in heaven, seated on the throne with power, look upon earth with mercy. We need your help. I pray for a miracle, that you would take our church, every members and even newcomers, take our hearts and make heaven and earth one. I can't do that. Only you can. Help us now. Help us to see your truth in your word. And as we see and understand your truth, may we sing like this, let the nations praise you, worship you. Come now, do your miraculous work among us who are so needy. Help us. We are bankrupt by ourselves, empty. Fill us now, I pray. Pray this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. So this is Missions Month. The reason I chose this text in Psalm 67 is I want us to concentrate on the first two verses, and I'm going to take those two verses and ask a question. Okay. Before I ask a question, let me read it one more time. This is a praise or a prayer. May God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. And the question I ask is, how can our church, how can LCC, as a church, may be in this flow, this grace, God's grace, for God to bless us, to make his face to shine on us, have favor on us? How does that work? Well, how that works is if we engage as a church missions. Your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the key word, nations, ethnos, people groups, that we will go from here out there, locally or globally, cross-culturally, whether we are a sender, which our church does, we send resources and money and prayer to the missionaries, the two missionaries we support, and a mission agency we support, which they also support other missionaries. We're a sender. But I have a dream. I know this is Martin Luther King, okay, but I have a dream, I do, that one day, from among you, one, two, or three, or more, from our church, from among us, that you would receive a calling from God to go full-time missionary to a cross-cultural, unreached or reached people group. That would be awesome. Not that we send sort of strangers on a mission trip, okay, cross-cultural, locally. It would be one of you, two, three of you, that we will go and we'll get all over that. Pray for you, support you, hopefully financially as much as we can, blow on that blessing. If you would have it, God would have us do it. And then we could send, one of you, send short-term mission teams every year to supporting our brother or sister to help him or her every year, after year, after year, helping, supporting, and cultivating a sense of passion. You know, it's hard. It's really hard for you guys to be really passionate about missions like God is if you don't go and taste that. Or even think about even being a full-time missionary if you don't even go for a short time. How can you really have a passion for it, really, from a distance? You can't. I'm a huge proponent of short-term mission teams. And yes, you're right. You are right. I'm already hearing. Yes, we're not going for 10 days or 2 weeks to, what can we really do for the missionary for 2 weeks? Not much. We could do everything we can, communicating with the missionary to help him or her, yet you're right, in 2 weeks, there's very little you can do. Okay, some stuff you could help. But that's not the purpose of short-term mission trip. Short-term mission trip is for us, for you, to taste and experience, and perhaps, even at that moment, maybe the Lord might call you to be a full-time missionary. That is one of my dreams, that this church, wouldn't it be awesome if that happened? If you left your job, your full-time job that you worked so hard for 8 years, and you went giving your life to the cause of the kingdom. That would be awesome. Not all of you guys will go. Most of you guys will be senders. But my prayer is maybe a small group of you from this church will go. Okay. So that was my introduction. How can as a church be in God's grace? May God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face to shine on us. That your way may be known on earth and your saving power among the nations, I think is missions. Now, what I want to do is I want to take verse 2, your way. What does it mean that we go, send, or go so that God's way may be known? What does that mean? Does that just mean John 14:6, you are the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father except through me. Is that just mean your way means go to heaven and not hell? Is that what it means? I think that means that in the second part of the verse, your saving power among the nations, the gospel rescues us through Christ, knowing Christ, from darkness to light, from going to hell to heaven. But this way, God's way, your way be known. What does that mean? I don't think it's the same thing. God has a way of doing things, whether you knew that or not. He's a person. He has feelings, just like you and I. You also have a way of doing things. I have a way of accomplishing my goals. There's certain steps, methods I take away. It is this intimacy. When you know someone's ways, is more than knowing someone's address, a home address. That is not knowing my way. That's knowing just a fact about me. I drive 1998 Camry that I got from my mom. Okay? I have 3 kids, Noah, Hannah and Andrew. My wife's name is Tasia. That's not knowing my way of doing things. Do you know how you would know my way? How would I know your way of doing things from day to day? That intimacy there. How would you know that? You live with that person. You spend time with that person. Not from a distance, not just going to Google Maps or logging on to Facebook. And guys, I love Facebook. I really do. I really do. It's incredible what the internet does as a tool, and Instagram or whatever. But going on Instagram and Facebook or whatever kind of social media, there's no way you would know someone's ways. Knowing God's way is having this close intimacy so that you could even actually predict, you know them so well, what they will do, what they will say, what actions they will take, because there's a pattern. You have seen it. I don't know if you know, I was going to go there. I did live with a family for about a month before I came. I came here, Elder Frank's family. Originally, I was supposed to live in a what's that thing where you rent a room? What's it called again? Airbnb, you know, and it was kind of expensive. And so Elder Frank kind of pulled some strings and said, let me ask my wife, Kiwa. And so that's what happened, you know. So I stayed at their house for about a month. Okay. And when you do that, you start knowing their ways, you know, their patterns. And Elder Frank would be talking at night, you know, on their high table. Remember, if you've been there, you know, that little table right by this little kitchen. We'd be talking, and whatever it might be talking. And then 10 o'clock comes, he goes, oh, bye. And he goes without fail. 10 o'clock comes, around 10 o'clock, he goes, bye, I gotta go to bed. Huh? Seriously. Doesn't matter what kind of conversation, if it's an important conversation, it doesn't matter. 10 o'clock, boom. See ya. And he wakes up like good, not early in the morning. No one is up, but he's up and he's gone. Not Aaron, though. You know, Aaron, I mean, he gets to work. He gets to work almost every time, on time. But he wakes up like 15 minutes before. Even though he has to drive like 30 minutes, 15 minutes before. But somehow he gets there. He drives like 100 miles per hour on Highway 100. I don't know how he does it. And you got Kiwa, you know, Kiwa. Kiwa is something. You know, I could say a lot of other things about the Starzak family. But sometimes they're going on these romantic walks with, you know, Elder Frank and Kiwa at night, you know, and, you know, usually Elder Frank wants to, like, hold Kiwa's hand and do a nice, like, stroll at night around their neighborhood, okay? That's what Elder Frank wants, but remember, I went on these walks with him. Yeah. But Kiwa, she's like, you know? And Elder Frank always complains how she's like, you know, several steps ahead of him every time. You know, I want to go on a nice walk and, you know, romantic walk. And Kiwa's there wanted to exercise, you know, like training for a marathon or something. I didn't really interact with Michael all that much, but the few times I did interact with him over a couple meals, every time I see him like washing dishes. Without fail. In the middle of the meal, he's like washing dishes. Sometimes I would think, could you wait, like, you know, after everything's over? Like, I didn't tell him that, but that's, the more you spend time with the people, the more you know their ways, their quirky ways. The more I spend time with my wife, I know her ways. You know, I try to get ready like a day before on a trip to Brazil. I kid you not, weeks in preparation. Like, what are you going to wear? Ask me in 2 weeks before. I don't know, just anything. Because you know? I pack a day before. That's my way. So knowing someone's way, knowing God's way is beyond the address. Beyond just the facts, doctrine about God. Cold doctrine. Knowing God's way is to be intimate with God, is to know him personally, so much so that you could actually guess what he will do next, what he will say. That's the kind of omissions, his way, that our church needs to be part of. Now, how do you do that? Not only save them from darkness to life-saving power through the gospel, how do you cultivate a group of people who are Christians who know God's way that way? It has to be a local church. The missionary has to plant a local church so that, you know what a local church is? A church? Church is God's people. Gathering is a gathering. It's an assembly. This is a church, not because we have a building, such a nice building. This is a gathering. Why are you here? Is it because you want to hear my sermon? No. God has gathered you here into an assembly so that you will benefit from each other. Spiritual gifts that you and I need from each other so that you will know God's ways personally, intimately, not just be saved from hell, so you will know him. You can spend time with them. The gathering of God's people, whatever day it is, Sunday, Friday, doesn't matter. The gathering of God's people is so that we can know his ways. The gathering of God's people during small groups, opening the word, breaking bread, is so that we might know, go deeper in knowing his ways. Talking about that truth, sharing that truth, struggling with that truth, praying for one another, that the truth might really sink in their minds and in their hearts, will change their will, their desire. Reading and studying God's word by yourself, or you call someone and, you know, it is really, let me give you one practical thing. It's really, really hard for you to read your Bible, right? It is. It really is. Especially when there's more exciting things to do other than reading the Bible. I know you're there. All of you are there. Call someone who's probably struggling the same thing. Jay, you want to read the Bible together? And this morning or in the afternoon? For 1 hour, 30 minutes together? Knowing God's ways is a missionary who plants a church, and the center is going beyond the superficial, beyond the address, that the people who are not God's people become God's people through the power of the saving power of the gospel, and they gather to know God. The church is a center of training to know God, to know his ways. Don't you want to learn God that way? More than kind of cold address, get intimate. I mean, if you have any other great ideas of doing that, let me know. I don't think there is. May God be gracious to us, to LCC. Bless us. Make his favor upon us, that his way may be known on earth. And then he says, your saving power among all the nations. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it has the power unto salvation. Romans 1. The good news, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed, Caruso preached to them the Christ. What does that mean? He was preaching the good news, Jesus, proclaiming that Christ was not just the Savior, not just the Lord. He proclaimed Christ, that he is the King. He is King like King David. And what that means is Jesus is like King David, like he established a capital city to rule God's kingdom. Jesus comes like David, and he established a capital city, not downtown Jerusalem. He established a capital city in heaven, where all the resources that God's people need are there. King David destroyed all the enemies and brought peace to his kingdom. Well, Jesus is not destroying the Moabites and the Philistines. Jesus, it says in 1 John, the Son of Man appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Christ Christ is the heir of God. He's a perfect man that this is described in the law. Jesus is the great high priest who takes us into the temple who is in heaven that we might see God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is a prophet that reveals the kingdom of God. And on and on and on and on and on. That is the gospel. Is the proclamation of Christ and who he is and what he has come to do. The good news is not what we can do for God. The good news is what he can do for us. That's the heart of the gospel. And when we proclaim that Christ that's revealed, not just one thing about Christ, all of it. Not just that he's our savior, just get rid of some dirt, remove that punkness, and get you to heaven. No, the gospel, the saving power among the nations, is a power of knowing Christ in all of how he is revealed in the scripture, in the Bible, Old and New Testament. God will be gracious to us. God will bless us. He will make his face to shine on us if we are on that river, that river, that way, and that gospel. And let me give you just a concrete example. I really struggle to see, I want to tell you this. This example is not to show off how great I am. That's not the purpose. It's really not. It's to show how great God is. When you're on that river, he will be gracious. He will have favor, not for earthly riches. Who cares? He will take care of us. He will, all your needs. He's your Father in heaven. He knows you have physical needs. When I was in college ministry at this church, my previous church, when I went there 6 years ago, I'm already boiling for missions, okay? Not just local mission, but cross-cultural missions. And the first year, I told the leaders, okay, the leaders at our church, what do you guys think about, going to forming a mission trip, cross-cultural, find the missionary to support whatever missionary we were sending and partner up and go. And of course, the leaders were like, they haven't gone for 10 years. Okay, and so I was like, wow, maybe we could go this year. And we didn't go. They were all worried about the finances. And how are you going to pay for this, Pastor Tim? And this is the proposal I got. It was about $1,500 per person. Okay, And we're going to raise it on our own. Okay, because that's what I did when I was in L.A. And it worked. But they weren't convinced, What if you just belly flops, $1,500 per student, And so we did out a seminar and, about the trip, but there was some interest, but no one really signed up to commit to go. We didn't go. Next year, I blew the trumpet again. And this time, 10 students, college students, these are college students, these are young adults, a lot of them didn't have money. And they signed up to go, $1,500. 15 and 10 signed up, so it's $15,000. That's a lot of money, okay? What if we don't raise that? Who's going to take the tap? Right? You see the concern of the leaders, right? If you don't raise that, $10,000. Where are we going to get that money? So they were, but I said, don't worry. I was more confident there, but you know, it can not work if all the students don't raise. And we did one team fundraiser and then, you know, personal letters to their friends and family members. And by the, and you know, we're supposed to do it before, like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before the trip, you know, right? So we know where we are. And before we went, the team, the college students of team of 10, okay, so 9 and then me, 10, we raised $55,000. Of course, the leaders were like, we were set for like next 10 years. $55,000? We only needed $15,000. We have excess of $40,000 on the short-term mission account. I didn't do that. God was gracious to us. Not we spend and have a luxury time at the mission trip. We want God's ways be known. Not just address. To support the missionary who's going to plant a school and a church. That his saving power might be known through that missionary. And if we could do anything that we can as a church and be in that flow of God's grace and mercy in his favor, he will. My jaw dropped that we raised $55,000. It's incredible. The amount of support was God. God was behind the whole thing. No more excuses about money from that leadership, that church. All years I've been there. Never. As far as I know, when I left, we still had most of it there. Because every year, the just team raised everything. I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen here. Okay? I don't know what God, Lord's going to do, but he will. He'll be gracious to us. It might not be money. It might be spiritual growth, which is worth more than $55,000. More close to God, more intimacy with God. I would love that to happen here. I don't know if it will. At least some sort of talks about short-term mission trips, not just college students, okay? I'm talking about you older folks. That you would take your vacations. I know, it's a sacrifice. Not with your family, and I have couples do that because they were carried away by missions of God's passion for the nations. Take off 2 weeks from their vacation to go. You know, it wasn't just college students, it was people with kids that did that, and you could do it too. You can. It's not impossible to trade 2 weeks, a time with your family or friends, and a time with your brothers and sisters on this vision in Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us, gracious to you. May he bless us beyond our imagination, and make his favor to shine upon us and this church. Amen? And as we launch this missions month, teaching or preaching, and Pastor Chris comes, and the other Pastor Chris Vogel comes, and I close the series, may God kindle in all of you a passion for the nations for he will be gracious to us. We'll be in this river that's flowing, and we're not off of it. We're on it, flowing with it. That's joy. Not an example of a missionary, Jim Elliot and Elizabeth Elliot, but I'm going to close here. But maybe I'll mention this maybe next, the last sermon. Jim Elliot and Elizabeth Elliot, they're incredible people. Jim was 28, and he was, four of his friends were martyred when he was trying to spread the gospel in this remote area in South America, in Ecuador. And I'll tell more story about his wife in 3 Sundays. Incredible story. His wife just passed away 3 years ago. And so we'll go there. Let me pray. Let me pray for us. And we'll take, as we embark and take our communion together. Our great God and Savior, you are a great God. Help us to pray for great things, not small things, impossible things, because you love doing the impossible. Beyond reason, that could be only take hold with faith, trusting in your word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. And when I read my word, you are a miracle working, spectacular, earth shattering, impossible, possible making God. Over and over and over and over. That is your testimony. The truth. God, help us. Beyond our human limitations, that can't change even a leper spot. But you can. Help our church. Help us. Holy Spirit, come and move with power. And do a change in not just mission, but all areas of our lives. Free us. Set us free from this bondage of a love affair of this world. Too much love for this world and too much focusing on the self. That's bondage. Set us free from that so that your spirit might flow and that we would risk our lives and our riches for the kingdom. How beautiful are the feet of those who spread good news. Help us. Change us. Lift us up from earth and rise us into the heavenly places and see your glory. I pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen.